Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on the old Bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Hi, how's it going?
Good. How was your long week?
Oh, it was so good. It was so relaxing. I cooked a lot of food. I watched TV. I played a lot of Animal Crossing, played my virtual board games. It's really just everything I could have wanted. I looked at my Subaru as it sat dead in the garage, and I thought, someday, Subaru, I'll resuscitate you. But for right now, you stay dead, and I'm going to eat food.
Yeah, I watched Hamilton. So that was good.
Did I like that.
I felt very patriotic until I watched it. And then I was like, I don't know if this is very factually. I definitely searched slave owners and founding fathers. Let's just put it that way after. I was like, this was a nice whitewash.
A lot of discussion about that this weekend, I'll tell you that much.
I didn't see that. I just saw. I watched Hamilton, so I watched it. And it was good. But I'll tell you this much. I got quite an education because. Listen, I know it's not going to shock anybody to know this, but I didn't pay very much attention at school, okay? I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree. So I really went in and, like, I know a lot about history now because I was like, wait a second.
Everything you know about America comes from Lin-Manuel Miranda,
okay? Oh, God.
And you're welcome. You know it all now. You know it all. Alexander Hamilton!
So I watched that, and as I was watching it, my neighbors were shooting off fireworks, so it was kind of awesome. I was watching that and then watching the fireworks. I had a very murka day.
That's a very murka day. The fireworks started here about a month ago in LA, and they have not stopped. And on July 4th was truly like the orgasmic climax because it started around like 5:30 or 6 when it was still light out. By the way, fireworks are going off at like 2 p.m. here. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, why are you paid money for that firework. Why are you setting it off in daylight? Fireworks start going off. And then it was like the entire evening was just a constant rumble. Like, it wasn't like a boom, 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 boom. It wasn't like that, like where there's a pause. It was like boom, boom, boom. Like, it was like, it felt like a war zone. And, you know, I've been living in L.A. now for coming up on 19 years.
And, you know, old man Ben.
Old man Ben. And, you know, L.A. has a very vibrant illegal fireworks scene. As in, like, they go off. The city goes nuts. But this was on a different level this year. It was insane. And they were, like, at 2 a.m. It was like, I swear they're going off over my head. And be like, I'm like, oh my God. And it makes you so uneasy because, like, when there is a proper fireworks, when I say proper, I should really say a, you know, like an organized, legal, permitted thing, whatever, it usually has a start time. It's around like 9 o'clock. And they start, it's like boom, 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 boom. And then the climax, like boom, 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 boom. And then it's done. You're like, oh, that was fun. But when it's just like random fireworks from who knows where and what direction, it's just, you just never know when you're going to get started. Like, you're like, I'm just trying to watch Hamilton.
Yeah, the neighbors across the street. I went out there finally because I was like, these are like literally right outside my house. I mean, they were huge. It was like a movie. You know, they were going off right outside my window. I thought, this is weird. So I went out, and sure enough, the neighbors are out there sitting. They have all these little kids, okay? And they're sitting on their lawn in a circle, in these, you know, little lawn chairs in a circle. And they put all the fireworks in a fireworks shooter off or whatever the fuck you call it, some tube.
Yeah.
It's like maybe
finger loser,
maybe 6 feet away from them. And they're shooting off. And they're just sitting around watching it like they're all gathered around the old radio back in the pioneer days or whatever. I was like, you guys, they're little fucking kids. And right when I said, I didn't say it like that. I said, y'all are brave. That's how I said it. And which is my Texas way of saying you should have your children taken away from you, you know?
Yes.
But I said that. And then right when I said that, one of them got loose. The fireworks got loose and started the house next door, started the lawn on fire. And they're like, oh, well. I was like, that could have been one of your babies.
Why don't people have, like, a reasonable fear of fireworks? The amount of fireworks that were going off in backyards and streets.
That's true.
I was raised that you should be afraid of a firework.
Yeah.
Because it's an explosive. And, I mean, how many stories do we have to hear of people losing their fingers and their hands and their faces and their lives to fireworks? It just doesn't make sense to me. Is it like it's just I find myself asking this over and over again during these times. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You set off a firework when you could have just been watching a screensaver and probably had the same effect. I mean, or it just I just don't really see the value in it. They're loud, they're annoying, they're beautiful, and they're fun to look at, but I don't want to be the one who, to paraphrase Hamilton, I don't want to be in the room where it happens, okay? I don't need to be in the room. I don't need to be in the fireworks.
I do want to miss my shot, okay? I do want to miss getting shot in the face with a firework. How about that? As Ronnie Hamilton said. All right, well, let's get on with this day, because we've got a lot to cover.
We have a lot to discuss.
We are going to be...
This is big.
This is a Crappens On Demand video, so you can see us.
Huge.
If you go to Crappens On Demand, it's on Patreon. Come a member, come on! And also, we're doing Real Housewives of New York today, because it came back, and we missed that Thursday. And we are also going to catch up on Married to Medicine Los Angeles.
Yes, we'll talk about the penultimate episode of that season. And, of course, by the way, we are in a pandemic, so definitely wear a mask, and you can get one of our masks. We have really fun, cool masks. So as long as if you have to wear a mask, you might as well make it be a fun one. So go to, what's our store?
Crappensmerch.com. You can find that link over at our website. You can also find the link to Patreon over there. Let's do some small business shout-outs, Ben, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to start today. This is for Catherine Black. Her name is Kat Black, actually. She has a real estate business. She is a realtor at RE/MAX Center Realty in State College, Pennsylvania, home to Penn State. Okay. She's got a picture of herself. Okay, Catherine Black, realtor. Okay, so if you need a realtor over there, go to Kat Black. She's great.
Great. Kat Black. Like a black cat.
Yeah.
But the other way around.
Yeah.
Like Janet Jackson once sang. Black cat. Meh, meh. Okay, I've got one. This is from someone named Bakara, who has a voice studio based in Nashville. It's a small voice studio. But because of quarantine, Bakara has been teaching online through Zoom. Bakara has a bachelor's degree in music education and a master's degree in vocal pedagogy, and teaches locally at different secondary schools and colleges in the Nashville area. Bakara also offers classical, commercial, and musical theater styles of singing. So if there's anything that really could be well adapted to our Zoom lifestyle these days, it's something like this. So if anyone there has ever wanted to take private voice lessons, but never got around to it, go check out Bakara's website. It's bakaranhmusic.com. So that's BAKARANHMUSIC. bakaranhmusic.com. And there is a quarantine special for free vocal consultation. I mean, you guys have to take advantage of this, because as long as we're going to be quarantined, you might as well come out of it with a beautiful singing voice. And then you surprise everyone. Everyone's like, I never knew you could sing like that. You're like, I always could. But secretly, you learned it in pandemic times.
Everyone will be like, wow, you're so much fatter now. But God, your voice has improved. And then they'll start correlating your weight gain with your voice. And then it'll be fun.
It works.
Guys.
It's a great party trick, you know?
Okay.
So anyway.
So now here we are with Real Housewives of New York City, second half of the season, episode 12 of season 12. We even get new. We got a lot new. We got new interview.
A lot of
new interview sessions where people are now Zooming in their house, some more successfully than others. and we've got new opening lines.
Yeah, I think this is the first time this has ever happened in a Real Housewives season. It's interesting because with Tinsley leaving, they kind of are, it's almost like a weird second season, but it's still the same season that's happening. But yeah, we have a new line, which made me sad, by the way, because I laughed every single time the opening credits started with Dorinda with her previous line in this season where she was like yelling. She's like, I'm not always right.
I'm never right. But I'm never wrong. Yeah.
Oh, wait, can I show something real quickly, which is that I did post a new episode of The Real Housewives of Kitchen Island, so go check that up on YouTube, because it's brand new. Okay, thanks.
So this time go watch it. I haven't watched it, so I didn't say anything like, oh, yeah, and it's so good, because I don't want to be a liar. I'm saving it.
You can watch it. You can watch
it. I will watch it. Yeah. So Dorinda's line this time is, like a mint in my mouth, I can be a bit fresh. It's like, what? Did you fire your gay hairstylist? Who came up with this line for you? It's terrible.
Like a mint. I think it was a reference, because wasn't she saying to Tinsley at the when they went apple picking. She's like, "You're like a mint in my mouth. You're like a mint. You know what you are? You're like a mint. You're like a mint," or something like that.
Yeah, you're like nothing. You're like a mint. You're a piece of gum. You're in the orbit. You're in the orbit, bitch. You're in the orbit, all right? Winter fresh, bitch, all right?
Yeah. I'll tell you who's extra. And then Sonia continues the sort of candy-themed thing where she goes, "I'm no one's arm candy. I'm the whole bowl of sugar," which I feel like I would. I feel like there's like I feel like we need another polish on that line, right? It's not quite working for me. Like, first of all, I feel like arm candy is better than being a bowl of sugar.
Totally. Who wants to be a big bowl of sugar? You know, who wants nobody. That? It's like it's big and round. It's like, why have arm candy when you know can carry around Time Daily? It's like, what the fuck.
She should have said, "I'm no one's arm candy, but I am a snack." Like, that would have been funny, right?
Oh, that's the cute. Whole, I'm,
right? That's cute, right?
Well, but her original line is, I'm not arm candy. I don't shave my pussy. That was her. That's her original line. So if like, you can't compete with that, just leave it in the trunk. You know what I mean?
I have a good take. How about this one? "I'm no one's arm candy, but I do like being a bottom sometimes." No, you actually already... Shockingly enough, you actually already did that line.
Or maybe, sort of. "I'm no one's arm candy. Why'd you do that, Ramona?" My current favorite Sonia line after this episode. "Why would you do that, Ramona? Why'd you do that?" While she's like slopping chicken into her mouth. Okay.
Oh, Sonia, yeah.
So after her is Ramona, who's, you know what, Ramona's an awful human being, okay? But God, she sure knows herself.
Yeah.
She's like, "So what if I'm self-involved? Who else would I be involved with?"
Kai?
Okay.
I don't remember her line from earlier in the season, but this was very fun. I like that she's already like wrapped up her arc and she's now moving on to something else. Like, her initial arc was like, "I'm alone. I can be alone. I'm going to be alone forever. I just need a man. I need my best friend." Now she's like, "Who cares? I'm happy. I can be alone. I can be self-reliant with Avery, okay?"
"I have an awkward kitchen now."
Yeah. Okay. So then Leah's like, "I'll say sorry for what I've done, but never for who I am."
Okay.
Okay.
And then and then Luann's, "I rise above the drama and won't settle for the lower level."
which is good. That's a good reference to when she was stuck downstairs. Although I did like, I mean, she previously had, I think, one of the longest taglines in Housewives history. It was like, "Lower the light. Lower the lights, take a seat, the show is about to begin, the exits are here and there, please be sure to silence your cell phones, the show is going to begin, the cabaret!
Turn your cell phones off inside, or else you live in a double wide, cabaret is the way to be, I'm the Countess, whippy!" It's like, okay, wrap it up, we have a whole show to get through.
45 seconds of this. Just say "I sing cabaret" and be done with it.
So we open at a costume store, and Leah's shopping for a costume for Rob because Rob's going to come along to this Halloween party.
To Luann's big Halloween party this year. And Leah's basically trying to figure out what his outfit's going to be. She's like, "Would you like to be a clown or a priest?" Which feels sort of like being a clown or a priest... Two types of people who'd be horrified by this show, I think.
Really? You think clowns would? I think clowns would be like, "Mother? Mother?"
No, I feel like clowns secretly are probably like very indignant about their art. And they'd be like, they think they're clowns, but they have no idea.
Yeah. Makeup doesn't make the clown, all right, lady? My clown is sad, Dorinda. Yee!
Yeah.
So Dorinda and Luann come to shop with her, and Dorinda's like, "It's Halloween!" We know Dorinda. Jesus.
Dorinda is like that one musical number in The Nightmare Before Christmas, like encapsulated into a human. Whatever that song was, where everything's like moving around in like the Halloween land. It's like, "Oh, Halloween, Halloween, Halloween."
You know,
it's
I
like,
can't get Dorinda. Through that movie. I try. It's just everyone's so thin in it. Just...
Not the bad guy.
Oh, of course. Of course, the bad guy.
Right? He's like a big fat burlap sack of some sort. So of course.
So Luann comes in, and I said she's turning into Ben. "Good morning." Oh, no. I meant she's turning into Ben-Hur music director. Because she's like, good morning, girls. Good morning. How many? Listen, I love to smoke. But Luann, jeez. You're a singer now.
So this is when we get our first glimpse at Real Housewives of New York in the time of Corona. So basically, I didn't actually watch this episode until Sunday because you were having a long weekend. But I had heard that the interviews on Roni were pretty hilariously low rent. And I can see why people felt that way, because it cuts to Luann in her interview and she sounds like she is literally underwater. She's like,
My good friend Evan, I have had the most fabulous Halloween party in New York.
But there's like an echo too.
Yeah. It's like just there terrible. Was one, I think it was Beverly Hills. Maybe it was Lisa Rinna in Beverly Hills. One of them a couple years ago we were making fun of because it sounds like they just phoned them in later. They're like, okay, just leave us a voicemail with your opening line. And that was this. It's like when my dad calls me from the toilet, you know? I'm like, why are you calling me? What? I'm not in the toilet. I'm like, Dad, you're echoing. I can hear you echoing. Bathrooms echo. He's like, well, I'm not calling you through the toilet. That's what Luann did, basically.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, so we've been covering Married to Medicine LA, and for a few weeks now, we've detected that some of their pickup interviews clearly have been filmed at home. But it's like they gave the ladies a green screen or did something, and the audio was like not quite as good, but it's fairly seamless. But here with New York, they're just like, okay, just find a corner of your living room and like put the camera at a weird angle and don't bother the microphone and just go.
Well, listen, I'm just starving. I'll take whatever they give me at this point.
Me too.
I'm like catching M&Ms in my mouth. Like, I don't even care. Like, I'll take whatever you give me. I'll just like sit under the movie seat and wait until someone just drops a piece of popcorn like my dog. Like, I don't care. I'm starving. I will take it.
I will say, I thought it was better than people making it out like it was like shot on a, you know, a flip phone from like 2002. But like, I thought it looked a lot better than I was expecting. But it was just funny because like Luann's audio specifically, everyone else's audio was like okay, but Luann's audio was just like so bad. And I love that the cabaret singer has just like no professional audio setup whatsoever in her house.
Yeah, like get a carpet. So, yeah.
Do we talk, by the way, about the fact that she or her roundhouse is up for sale?
Yeah. Great time to sell. That? Just when everybody's looking. Isn't that crazy?
Roundhouse.
Just when the economy's killing it the most, Luann. Good choice. Well, thank God Bethany's ex-boyfriend didn't help her get that like $80 million house she wanted, remember?
Seriously.
So Luann is talking to them in the Halloween store, and she's looking at this feather headdress thing that Leah's trying on to be a voodoo queen or something. And she goes, oh, I have a similar thing to that, actually, a head thing, but it's bigger. I was like, if you pull out this Diana Ross fro again.
No, please don't.
I swear to God, Luann, okay?
Well, I believe she wore a feather headdress years and years ago. The first time we saw she had any inkling of like wanting to sing. Remember, like Jill Zarin had some like dinner at a restaurant, and Luann came down a staircase being like, happy birthday to you, give me fever.
Yeah, and then when everybody else started singing with her, she's like, they know my music.
So Dorinda's like, well, guess what, ladies? I was totally Ramona-sized by her again yesterday. Wait till I tell you the story, okay? So she says I'm going to have a birthday, and I really want you to come to Larry Scott's to come to help me put together the birthday party. So, you know, and I always forget with Ramona, you know what? You got to watch her talk, but you got to listen to how she speaks, because she says one thing and she walks on two legs, but she doesn't have a mint and her fingers are only three on a hand and six on the other. You got to keep an eye out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you better get another ear, okay? You can hear through this ear or this ear. Or get another ear, you never know what she's going to say. Or you'll get Ramona size, which is like getting super size. You order something and you say, I want a Ramona size, and they charge you 60 cents extra, and then your soda says, walking nuts. Like Dorinda, did somebody just drag Dorinda out of bed by the ankles and bring her into this scene? What is she even talking about?
She is still mad about when Ramona dragged her and Sonia to Larry Scott's place in Long Island to look at party stuff. And she's like, you know what? She barely spoke with us. And she just wanted us there so Larry could take pictures with us. It was a promo this and a promo that. And it was like, echo, echo, echo. And then the voice came back and said, echo, echo, echo. I was like, you gotta watch out for that voice. Ramona's voice not going wrong.
She's making it sound like Larry had them doing like an Annie Leibovitz shoot. You know?
They were in a bathtub full of milk. I'll tell you that much. I didn't plan on being in a bathtub. You know what? And then they had me dressed like a cabbage. It's like, that's Aunt Getty's, yeah. Okay?
I was about to say. I had to hold a little baby in a cabbage the entire time. I was like, where's the mayonnaise? So, and then she starts saying that she's like, no, I'm not mad that like Ramona was using us to get a free party, you know, but I'm mad that she thought that we were so stupid that she doesn't even have to acknowledge it. And also I'm mad that she used us to get a free party too, you know.
So Dorinda's testimonial diary room session, yikes. I mean, Dorinda has a beautiful house, but I don't know who told her that highlighter furniture is. They're like, you know what? Green neon. That's what you should get for your little love seat thing in there. Green neon.
That's got lots of like green velvet textures in the background of this one. That'd be great. And by the way, Luann's background is hilarious because she's like by a bookshelf. And I think it's a photo of Victoria. But there's this random, like, huge photo of Victoria reclining, but it's shot very much like an 80s model thing.
Oh, I thought that was Luann.
It could have been Luann. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's
Well, here I am. Here's me in my modeling days. I was a nurse and a model. And soon after, I was hired to be a hostess in Italy on Italy's favorite show called Future Cabaret Star, starring me.
So Dorinda's like, my note on Dorinda's testimonial is she looks like a spoon in the garbage disposal. Dorinda looks so pretty, like close up and fresh face. And so she's the only person who looks worse in her testimonials when she actually has time to like sit there and make an effort. She looks, she looks wrecked.
The makeup is, Leah does a strange makeup job on herself. Leah looks a little funky.
Leah
hers,
looks totally different, right? She looks like a different person.
Like that makeup was like, I didn't really know what was going on. It is just funny seeing them like left to their own devices, having to glam themselves up.
Yeah. So Dorinda, well, it's like they say, you know, you're not ugly, you're just poor. You know, you've heard that saying before, right?
I haven't. You know how it makes sense.
Because you don't have all the hair and makeup team. So Dorinda's like, you know what? I said to Sonia, you know what I think she's going to do? Because her birthday's on the 19th. This is on the 25th. So, you know, maybe she disinvited you to Lucia last year. And so she said, you know what? I'm going to do a joint birthday party. But no, she's like, no, it's only mine. It's about me. I'm coming out.
By the way, Dorinda, I don't know where Dorinda's getting this notion. Ramona's under no obligation to share her birthday with Sonia. I'm sorry. I don't think that is crazy.
And Sonia, you know, never pays for a damn thing ever. Sonia would not be like, oh, let me help plan and let me help pay for things. She would just show up drunk.
Exactly. And it's one thing to propose it if Ramona is, if they're all out to drinks and Ramona's like, whoa, what am I going to do for my birthday this year? I want to celebrate me. I want to do something for my birthday. And Dorinda says, hey, why don't you have a joint birthday with Sonia? That's when it's like, oh, like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But at this point, Ramona's already gone down the path of planning. She's already got this meeting with Larry Scott. You can't just, like, tack on Sonia, too. I think Dorinda is being totally unreasonable about this.
Yeah,
but
she just wants to come for Ramona now. She has nobody left to come out. It's like Ramona said later in the episode, you know what? Now that Tinsley's gone, I think that she just needs somebody to yell at, okay?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, and Luann, of course, is always happy to pile on when it comes to bashing Ramona. She's like, oh, such a narcissist. Oh, did she even ask her advice? Like, what do you think I should do with the flowers or the decorations? Anything like that? Did she? Please tell me she did.
Did she ask who you would F, marry, or kill? I mean, she is so self-involved.
So self-involved. And Leah's just kind of like, I get why Dorinda's like mad, but like, hasn't she known her for like 20 years or so? Like at that point, like, why is she surprised? I mean, that's like, 20 years, at this point, like, Ramona should be kicking her out of their friendship house, right? Mm-hmm. Man, that's crazy.
And Leah's like, well, she really needs to chill with the judgy stuff. I mean, like, she's really judgy with me. And Dorinda's like, oh, yeah, she's judgy with all of us. It's like, she's judgy with you? Listen to yourself. You're making this whole scene about her. So she's like, she called me the other day, and she's trying to do this whole Tinsley thing with me, like I had something to do with it going to Chicago.
I think that she did, actually.
Totally.
I think that Tinsley would have waited it out throughout for the end of the season, but Dorinda was just being so awful to her. She's probably like, "Why am I? What am I doing here? Why am I like sitting around just to get like harassed by this crazy old lady?"
Yeah, I'm rich as fuck, and I'm about to be richer. Why am I going to listen to this lady?
Yeah, exactly. So then Dorinda's like, well, you know what? The good news is that it frees up a bed in the Berkshires. Maybe I'll have Elise over. No, just kidding. No one wants you around. Oh, Elise, I didn't even realize you were here all this time.
And the man's like, listen, we had drinks with Tinsley. She said, look, my eggs. And then she started crying and ordered eggs. And then she cried again, threw them on the floor. And then she said her life is over and she left. So, you know, I just said, best to you, young person.
You know what? Everyone deserves to be happy. It's just like in the animal kingdom, you know? The tigers don't get along with the rabbits. But, like, it doesn't mean they can't all just scamper away and be happy, you know? Because tigers and rabbits, they're happy together. And the tigers scamper away. And then Carol Baskin kills someone. And I'm like, you know what you did? You got to back it up, Carol Baskin. Stay away from my tiger. He likes a rabbit, okay? He likes a rabbit.
And then they cut back as she's talking about the animal kingdom and she's trying on armor.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Higher than high-res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's Ferelio, it's Lindsay Ferelio.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
We love you guys. And there's like big axes behind her. So next up,
Ramona is going to a restaurant, okay? She's like, well, hostess lady, hi, it's me, Ramona. You know what? It's been a while, okay? You know what we want? Table for two at the bar area, okay?
It's like, just, Jesus, could you just come in and just let something happen? God, Ramona.
So Ramona meets up with Rory, the matchmaker, who we've seen before.
Whoa, Rory? Rory set me up with Brian, or Ilias, the red scruff guy, okay?
Ramona, this is where we see Ramona doing her interview, and she's in her house, which looks not unlike an Apple store. It's just, like, very, like, clean, soulless lines, right? Ugh. And sort of, like, a white, light blue thing.
That aqua and background, and then those pendant lights on there were, like, straight 80s. Oh, Ramona.
And then I think Ramona had a pillow like by her lumbar because she was sort of sitting like oddly. She's like, you know what? It's like, you know, this is how we met Rory several seasons ago, okay? When I met Brian, Ilias,
Scorf Climb, okay? Whoa, I'm sitting back. Whoa, I'm in the Apple Store waiting for my phone to get updated, okay?
And she's also that friend on FaceTime, or like your mom when you're talking to your mom on FaceTime, and they're holding the FaceTime way below their face.
You know, yes.
So they're like looking down. You don't really know what she's looking at. She's kind of looking off into the distance.
I'm surprised that her interview like didn't go black in the middle of it and say like connection interrupted because she was like looking at a different app on her phone while she's doing her interview.
Totally. She's like, you know what? I thought Red Scarf Guy was so great in so many ways. Like he filled all of my box. What the, yeah. What are you even saying? And when they sat down, I just have to mention this because this is so fucking Ramona. She's this type of person in the restaurant who her friend gets there and she's like, you know what I'm having? And of course she's having her giant drink with muddled mint and all that stuff. And Rory's yes. like, I think I'll have tequila. And she goes, oh, okay, let me get the waiter. It's like, guess what the waiter does? Walks around and checks on people. How about you just sit your ass down and wait for the waiter to come? Okay.
that's a hilariously like that's the sort of observation that comes from someone who used to be a waiter.
Oh, I hate
because I never
like
would
that.
Have noticed that.
Yeah, it's like you're you just at their table and then they come up to you like, excuse me, my friend's here. I'm like, oh really, I didn't see him, sorry, just wasting my time up here, this whole tray of drinks just jerking off basically.
So Rory's like, okay, so because we get a flashback also of Ramona's terrible date from last year where the guy was like, I don't think humans are supposed to be monogamous. So then Rory's like, well, Ramona, you have to make a decision. Do you want love or money? She goes, what? I want a best friend, okay? I mean, technically, I already have one, and her name is Avery. She's my daughter, but she's also my best friend, okay? But I want a best male friend, okay? Someone make me laugh, okay?
It's like love and money. Like I want it both, okay? I want everything, okay? I'm not going to apologize, okay? I'm a woman. Hear me, okay, okay?
Yeah, she goes, what if I want? Because she goes, you know what? I want someone who's like me, all right? Someone who goes to Europe during the summer, goes to Aspen, okay? Gets coronavirus at a Trump fundraiser in the Hamptons over the weekend, okay? Did you see that Dorinda
post?
She's
so full of shit, by the way. So you've been following all this stuff. It's been very, very funny. So yeah, the girls are coming. Leah, especially, is coming really hard for Ramona on social. Like, you fucking idiot, spreading corona. Because Ramona's like, in Florida. And then, you know, she's going all over the place. So she was taking so much shit for it that she came out and said that she and Avery tested positive for antibodies to coronavirus, meaning she probably had it in February or something and just didn't know it. And now she's suddenly, like, immune to it. And now the girls are all attacking her. And it's glorious because Ramona's so full of crap. I don't come yeah. on.
And the thing is that Ramona went to a Trump fundraiser. I mean, it doesn't matter what fundraiser it was, but she was at but that guy Joe Farrell, who they went to the big house earlier this season, that big Hamptons house that had like the bowling alley downstairs. She went to a fundraiser at his house this weekend, and then Dorinda's like, 8 people at the fundraiser had coronavirus, or like people were at the fundraiser weren't wearing masks. So, and then she goes, at Ramona Singer, you should get tested. She basically was like, like shaming her, which of course I love mask shaming. It's like my favorite thing. But then also but she basically was kind of like calling out to the world that Ramona was at a Trump fundraiser, which was just like a hilariously petty Twitter moment.
Yeah. So she's like, well, you know what? I need a man that has the same worth as me because men are so intimidated. You know what? One time I went out with a billionaire and he came up to my apartment and he was like, whoa, what is this, like $5 million? You know what? You don't even need a man. So sexist and gross. And maybe it was the box of like 500 condoms you had on your... Maybe he saw those and was like, wow, she can still get pregnant? I'm out of here. I'm out.
Or... maybe it was just Tom D'Agostino, and he was just looking for a way out of his lie because he told Ramona that he was a billionaire. He's like, you know what? You don't really need me around here, so I'm going to go.
And so she's like, whoa, how do you think a regular guy's going to feel if that's how a billionaire feels?
Very intimidating, okay? I know that my wealth really turns off men, okay? And it's my wealth that turns off men. It's not the fact that I get in their face and say...
I know. I can pretty much guarantee you that billionaire or, you know, $5 heir, men are probably equally as horrified by you. Okay. You're like bridging the gap.
So Ramona she's on an emotional journey. And she's like, you know what? When I sold my apartment and moved into my new apartment, I was feeling very awkward in my life. Okay. And I was thinking that I didn't need a man.
But why don't I have a man? Why don't I have a man? I would love a man right now in my new apartment, okay? And then we see a flashback from the very first episode of the season when she was at the bar. What's the name of that bar? T-Bar. And she's like, I want a man to hold me and to love me and to want me. And I don't know if I'll ever find that again, okay? I want to go to Aspen. I want to go to Europe, okay? I want a best friend. Make a man that lasts me, okay? Okay?
And she keeps pulling her, like, bangs up into a ponytail and yanking them up for some weird reason.
And it was, like, that was back when she had, like, those three sidekicks that lasted for, like, an episode and a half. There was, like, that one lady's like, you know what you need? You'll need another cocktail, huh? That's what I always say. I'm like, who is this lady?
And then the older guy who was there, he's like, you know what they always say about carpets? You put them down and they feel like they can't leave, and then, boom, they're hardwood. Or whatever he said.
You mean my father's friend?
Yeah, Mr. Bernstein.
So
Ramona's like, you know what? H is just a number. Look at me. Look at me. And she starts trying to poke her temple, but she misses it.
She goes, you know what? You know, I had this whole renaissance of thought, okay? I sort of was like Michelangelo of my own brain, okay? I said, you know what? I'm feeling more comfortable in my home. I got myself. I love myself. I really do. I really like who I am, okay? And I have great girlfriends, except for the fact that we all hate each other, okay? So you know what? You know what? I want to meet someone who adds to it. But if I don't find it, it's okay, okay? It's okay, you know?
Yeah, you seem totally fine. That's why you're going on like 5 days a day. And no one is worried that Ramona doesn't love herself enough, okay?
Yeah, Rora's like, yeah, happy attracts happy. But I just want to remind you that your life is very empty and you will continue to need my services. So anyway, thanks so much for this beverage and I'll see you next week.
So next up is Sonia with Elise. And
now, go ahead. Yeah, now that I was just saying, now that Tinsley's gone, they're going to, it's like, now Elise, you're up. This is your big moment.
Yeah, Elise, ready, Elise? Like the substitute teacher. They're like, okay, Elise, we need you. Get in there. Swing in there.
Elise, this is your moment, okay? This is your moment. Like, you are the substitute teacher. This is your, you have to be the substitute teacher that comes in and puts on a video and jokes with the students. And everyone's like, you know, I love when, like, Mrs. Maioli comes in. That was the name of my substitute teacher when I was in high school. Mrs. Maioli, I think. You have to be like her. People remember
and
you.
She's not. Years and years. She's not. Elise is no Mrs. Maioli, okay? Spoiler alert.
No. Elise is the Elise is a substitute teacher that comes in and tries to be like the boss, tries to be like Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds. She's like, hey, I'm your tough substitute teacher, and the rules are the rules, okay? And everyone's like, boo, boo.
See Lisa with gum in her hair, crying.
Okay. You know, I once had a, I just have to say really quickly that I once had a substitute teacher who was a former nun who then, she came in and she announced to us that she was a former nun and then started singing My Way. It was the most amazing thing that ever happened.
No way. Did you know that people get murdered while they sing My Way in karaoke? Isn't that interesting? I've read a news article saying that that's like a thing, that people get murdered singing My Way, which, you know, of course I sing.
Okay. I didn't know that.
My friend sent it to me like, uh-oh, Ronnie, you better watch out.
Well, I never saw that substitute teacher again, so.
Well, there you go. Dead. She's dead. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Maioli, the former nun. Sister Maioli
was separate.
Sister Maioli. I know, I'm just Maioli combining them because we're in one recap. So Sister Maioli is now dead from singing My Way.
I got to text my friend. What's her name? Mrs. Maioli? I don't know. Miss Maioli. Let's be.
So Sonia and Elise meet up, and Sonia's late, of course. And she's like, oh, I'm buzzed. You're late, Elise. And so Sonia's like, oh, I haven't had food all day. You know what? I just don't like Halloween. I mean, I don't like running around with people I don't recognize, which... I'm so with her. I've never heard anybody put that so succinctly, but I hate Halloween for that reason. People come up to you, you can't tell who they are, and then they act like I'm the asshole because I don't recognize them. Hate that.
And let's face it, it's a holiday that celebrates fake tattoos. I mean, that's just unacceptable and trashy.
So Elise is like, well, you know, I went to Abracadabra today. I told them I need a voodoo outfit for Ramona's party. She's like, oh, well, I don't have to worry about that. Ramona already got me an outfit to match her. Sorry you weren't included.
Sorry you had to make a trip to Abracadabra yourself. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds terrible. Elise is like, no outfit for me, but I'm Elise, everyone's favorite friend.
She's like, well, I think she wants to keep you in your place. You know, she's afraid of losing her loved ones. Which I love that Elise is now a baby eater. You know,
I know. And she's like, you know what? When Ramona needs emotional support, she calls me, Elise.
The other day, I got a call from Ramona. I said, hi, Ramona, how you doing? And she said, listen, I'm in the neighborhood. I'm thinking of stopping by. And then the call waiting's going off. I answer it, and it's the doorman saying, Ramona's on her way up. I mean, can you even? Is this a woman? This is the woman who didn't buy me a voodoo outfit.
Can you believe it? She calls. She's downstairs. She says she needs to come up. The elevator's broken. You know what I do? I go downstairs. I literally carry her in my arms, 32 stories up in the staircase. This is what I do for a friend, and she can't even get me a voodoo outfit.
Not even. Can you believe? I mean, look, now that she's feeling stronger, and because I don't have a house in the Hamptons, a jet, a yacht, and I can't do plastic surgery on her, she has no need for me anymore. It's like, whoa, okay. Someone lit a fire under your butt. They're like, okay, Elise, yeah. Be more interesting. So she's like, okay. I'll rip Ramona to shreds.
How did it take you this long in your friendship with Ramona to realize this about her? Like, I feel like being friends with Ramona, you understand her patterns pretty well. So why are you ever surprised? It's like Leah said, why are you surprised with her?
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. So then Elise tells Sonia that after the haunted house night, which we saw a couple weeks ago, that all the girls were going out, so they all start getting in a car to go out, and then Elise starts to get in, and Ramona says, no, you know what, I'm just gonna go out with the girls, okay, I'm just gonna go out with the girls, and then totally backed her off.
If you notice that, like, Elise is a little manly these days, oh wait, I'm thinking about Barbara, I don't know, they're sort of like the same person, okay? So then,
listen, I can't help it, okay, I just look at you and I see an electric drill in a wrap dress, okay, sorry.
Basically, Ramona, when it comes to, I think, this show, if you're not a full cast member, she is not going to give you the time of day, even if you are her really good friend of 20 years.
Well, she's pissed because I think I mentioned this on the show. I don't know what's real and what's not anymore. Sorry. But Ramona, Elise was saying in some interview that she was just there in that first scene when we first saw her, and they said, oh, you're funny, and they put a mic on her, and they said, you know what, you're great, keep coming back. So she was never technically hired. I guess that right. They just kind of saw her and were like, come back, and then Ramona started getting pissed because she went from being the background chorus girl to now being a friend of on the show, and Ramona was, I guess, trying to stop it.
Oh, yeah, that tracks. That tracks.
Right.
But also, Ramona is, like, very self-involved. You know, because who else should she be involved with, okay? And so then Sonia's like, yeah, you know, like, you know, Ramona, she just isn't present. And, you know, like, she wouldn't even let me have my moment with Century 21. Which is funny because Elise is trying to share about her issue and Sonia's making it about her issue. And then we see a flashback of Sonia being like, Ramona, big news, I'm going to be in Century 21. It's like, oh, wow, that's nice. You know, I used to know a buyer over there. His name was Ernie. He's probably not even alive anymore. He's probably dead. You know, I knew his family also. Guess what? I once saw a mannequin. I once went to Century 21. If I've been in there, I once held a door in there. It was a really nice door. Okay. I guess I know a little bit more about it than you do. I'm sorry. Okay?
And Sonia's like, I always feel usurped by her, whatever that word is. And she goes, you know what it is? Ramonaville is filled with one-way streets. That's what it is.
If SimCity were still around, I would totally build Ramonaville. Or if I had thought of it, I would have named my island in Animal Crossing Ramonaville instead of its current name, which is simply just Dorinda. They say, when you sign up for it, when you start playing Animal Crossing, they're like, so what would you like to name your island? And I'm like, Dorinda. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, Dorinda. I'm like, just so you know, this is your last chance to change. I'm like, Dorinda. And I'm like, my island's called Dorinda.
Being judged by your Animal Crossing. So Sonia's really mad now because Ramona, as Sonia puts it, you know, Ramona, she's just like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, shut up, Ramona, okay? You with your fake friends and your fake party. And then we see where Sonia's been interviewing for her stuff, and she's basically in front of a dirty fireplace. That's the best Sonia could come up with. I mean, tape some towels to it, at least.
They're like those cartoon, like, Halloween spiders. Like, they, like, come down, like, when they reach the bottom, they go, doing, it's like, doing, and they go back up again.
So Elise and Sonia agree that they're going to call her out together.
Yeah, and Sonia's like, you know how much dirt I have on her that I can hold her liable for? I have a lot. I don't really know what it is, but I have a lot, and I'll just say I have a lot, okay? I have a facialist who knows things.
So now, Dorinda and Hannah.
Oh my god, this scene started off so amazingly. I loved it. So they're like in a windstorm. Like, we come to Dorinda and Hannah. It's like windy and cold, and Hannah maybe has like a cold or something like that. And they're like, "You're not dressed warm enough. You're not. She's like, "Mom, I'm just a block away. You're not dressed. Come on." Like, Dorinda like removes her. She's wearing some sort of like vest. She like removes it, and Hannah is wearing a classic camel hair, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Like
a coat?
Like overcoat. Like
vest
a coat
thing.
But she's wearing like a nice, like sort of Burberry-esque kind of jacket or coat. And then like Dorinda like forces her to put this little vest on over the coat.
I live a block away. She's like, "I live a block away too, mother."
And she's like, "Come on, take it home with you. Yeah, don't you feel better? Don't you feel better?" She's like, "Yeah."
So they go into a cheeseburger place, and Dorinda tells the guy, "You know what I like? A cheeseburger with Swiss cheese, lettuce, tomato, fresh onion, you know, mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, Thousand Island ranch, blue cheese, balsamic vinegar, mustard, till I say garlic sausage.
I only motor oil, rainwater, anything that's wet, just put it right on there."
Hannah asked me one time what I would have on a deserted island, and I said ham and smearlings. I'm not going to eat something without sausage. You name it, that's what I eat.
Yeah, I mean, ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard is part of every meal. And Russian dressing, that's a holiday. I'm like, well, you realize that ketchup and mayo are Russian dressing, so guess what? If you have ketchup and mayonnaise in your meal, you're already there.
Yeah, it figures that Dorinda's favorite part of eating is the liquids.
Hey, if you want to make a sandwich.
So they start talking about Richard, of course, mm-hmm. and Hannah tells her that she's her hero because she's made such a better life for herself and she's taken care of herself. And Dorinda's like, "I don't know why I'm crying."
Hannah's like, "You know, you're a better role model now than you've ever been." I'm like, have you seen the first 12 episodes of this season?
She's like, "You know what? It's just, I don't even want to do a birthday party, Hannah. You know what? Silly at this age. Speaking of, Ramona has a coming out party coming up. I mean, come on." She's like, "Can we just talk about us?" "Oh, all right. Then. How about we do a birthday lunch, maybe at Rikers Island?"
I was thinking we could do something real special at Rikers. How about that? That's nice, right? And I was like, "You want to have your birthday at Rikers Island?" She's like, "Yeah, wherever you come in when you played soccer when you were a kid." She's like, "Randall's Island? Yeah. Anyway." And afterwards, I thought we could go on a little vacation to Alcatraz. Alcatraz? Aruba? Whatever you call it.
So then we go to Chinatown. Oh, Leah's in Chinatown with Rob and Kiki because New Yorkers know where the good food is. I mean, it's not just some like a strip mall Chinese. This is like a Chinatown Chinese, okay? It doesn't have to be on the Upper East Side to be good.
Yeah, like when you're from New York, you like know the cool places. Like Chinatown. It's like a town with Chinese things in it. So you sort of like know about it. So we went there. We're going there. Sort of cool. They have these things called menus. I don't know. Sort of like in the know when you have a menu. Mm-hmm. And so we got those.
And that's the end. That's the end. So they go in there and she talks about her mom again, you know. But Rob is still really close with her mother and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got bigger fish to fry in this episode. You take it.
Yeah, basically, she's talking about, like, her parents, and, like, she's like, I mean, could you imagine, like, turning to Kiki and being, like, Kiki being, like, 17 and saying, like, "You can't come home"? Like, can you imagine? I mean, like, actually, I was, like, 19. And Kira's like, but Mom, isn't 19 a little bit old to be living with your parents anyway? Shouldn't you have been moved out anyway? And she's like, well, yeah, I mean, most people are in college at that time. She's like, well, why weren't you in college? Like, did you not get in or something? She's like, Kiki.
You gotta love just sitting that this story has turned into poor Leah being kicked out of the house when she was just a teenager to being fucking 19 years old. Give me a break. Come on.
Yeah.
That is way too old to be at home. You deserve to get kicked out.
Also, I want to point out that Rob always looks like he's going to fall out of his chair. He's always like on the edge of it, like just about to just topple right on out the entire time. And so, yeah, then they're just talking about like parent stuff and et cetera, et cetera. And Leah's just like, yeah, I mean, you know, therapists always say like, you know, most women marry men who are like their fathers. And Kira's like, ew. That thing that's about to fall out of the chair, I'm going to marry that.
That tiny preacher. So 3 hours until Lou's party. Leah goes over to Moxie, where she's checking in to meet Luann Alassab's.
Yeah.
Because they're getting their makeup done for this party.
Yeah. And, because she's going to be, I'm just going to be like a voodoo slot. Because, like, I found this, like, awesome see-through mesh jumpsuit at this place. Like, it's kind of for, like, people who are in the know. It's called Bloomingdale's. I don't know. So, I got that. So, I'm going to be a voodoo slot.
One of the stores I revolutionized with Married to the Mob. So, Luann is... Sorry, that's a much different show. What the fuck you doing, Moxie, bitch? Sorry, Luann. Luann is supposed to be there, but she's at the club in her glitter hat and her glitter jacket, just walking around pretending
big
like she planned this whole party. Just hilarious.
Yeah.
This is her friend's party, which she has he's given her a room to party in and get him some publicity, but she's walking around like, oh, great job over there. Great job.
Oh, there's a chef. Oh, très bien, c'est génial. Génial. Oh, génial. Génial.
He's like, why did she just tell me that I can't tell anybody she fucked a pirate?
By the way, her sequin puffy hat drove me nuts, because that was the exact sort of hat I think I talked about last week, where I was complaining about hats like that. And then here comes Luann wearing one. So then the chef starts like explaining the menu, and the editors put in all these weird visual effects. It was like lightning strikes, but they were busy. It was kind of like the sort of effects you would see in one of those things where there's a dinosaur that eats cars, you know, those like robo rallies or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
You know? Or what do you call those? Motor rally? Not motor rallies. You know those things where it's like...
You're asking an extremely homosexual person.
But you surely have seen those commercials where it's like, someone on a motorcycle is going to jump over 12 cars.
No, I can't watch those. They're like, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. No, I can't watch those. They just make me, think of getting beaten up.
That announcer does sort of sound like Luann. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
F, marry, or kill. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
So then she makes her way up to the makeup studio, and she's getting her makeup done with Leah, and they're talking about costumes, etc. And meanwhile, here comes walking up to the event space Ramona with Melissa, also known as Missy, okay?
God, Ramona really is cruising for a breeze in that this girl.
Yeah.
So she shows up and she's like, whoa, you know what? Her party is about voodoo, okay? I looked it up on the internet and whoa, perfect. You know what? I thought I'm going to get this outfit for me and for Sonya too, because lately, you know what? I just don't like Sonya's costumes. That's it. I'm sorry. There, said it. I just don't like her costumes lately. That's it.
I was fully prepared for Ramona to show up in like a black fedora and like a black outfit, just be like, yeah, I looked up voodoo, and apparently there's a bunch of big bad voodoo daddies out there, okay? And this is what they wear, okay? I'm sorry, but this is the dress code.
She just showed up as Maleficent.
She did.
Basically. Oh, no. What's the Sleeping Beauty?
No, she's more of, you know, she was like, no, Maleficent and Sleeping Beauty. She's more like the Evil Queen from Snow White, I think.
Oh, I'm trying to place, like, I'm trying to place the crown. Snow White, Evil Queen. I'm Googling things. Queen. Go ahead, Ben. I don't mean to make you stop. I'm just Googling.
No, I'm actually lost in my own thoughts. I'm thinking about this. I was like thinking about, I think it was, she was reading more Snow White to me. Either way, I was not getting a huge amount of voodoo from her, but that makes sense. I would not expect Ramona to be like really like in touch with something that came from Haiti.
Yeah. You know? So Ramona, just so everybody knows, Ramona's very religious, guys, okay? She's going around sprinkling her morality. There's a skull that's, there's a big glass cross that's filled with skulls, and she's like, whoa, it's a cross made out of skulls? You know what? My priest wouldn't like this. It's sacrilegious. I'm very religious, okay?
Yeah, that's what the priest wouldn't like out of her life. So, and then she's like looking at the food. So the food, of course, is all designed to look gross. And so she's like, whoa, this is
disgusting. What is this? It's gross. And Missy goes, that's a severed head. She's like, you gotta be kidding me. There's like dead heads here. Whoa, dead heads everywhere. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, it's disgusting. Andy Cohen just shows up. Hey, I heard there were deadheads here, huh? Oh, I love the Grateful Dead.
Ramona's so controlling that she even had to recast John with her own player named Ron. So Ron's back this week. He's like, hey, Ramona.
Oh, yeah. Ron.
She's like, whoa, he's you're awful. Very scary looking, baby. Okay. What is that, shrunken head? And he's like, it's my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, I thought it was Tinsley for a second. Oh, sorry. So Ramona calls up Luann and she's like, whoa, so how far away are you? Okay, I'm with Missy. Remember Missy? Remember she dated your ex-husband, Tom? Yeah, I'm with Missy and Ron, okay? Luann's like, dinner's at 8:30, Ramona. I thought that was pretty clear.
She goes, oh, you know what? I think I changed it for earlier, but I guess no one wanted to. She goes, I had a group text, and I said, you know what? Let's start early, okay? Because my friend Omar has a table at a fabulous restaurant downtown. Leave it to Ramona to try and change an entire party's time that she's not the host of so that she can go to another party.
And it's so Ramona that she, like, proposes something and then just assumes that everyone agreed with it and it, like, went through. Like, she's like, whoa, can we go a little earlier? Because it's a great table at Omar's. By the way, she's obsessed with Omar's, which I'm assuming is a restaurant or something, because she mentions it every episode. She's like, this is delicious. Can someone pass me some of those cookies? Because I'm going to go to Omar's. I love Omar's, okay? Omar's!
It's Mediterranean cuisine.
Is it? Well, there's also a great table there, okay? It's very exclusive. And a friend got it. She wants to go to Omar's, okay? She doesn't want to be here anymore, okay? I'm sorry.
My boyfriend and I were going to see Wicked, and that started at 7 p.m., and we wanted an Italian restaurant nearby so we could just walk over. So I did some research. I was torn, but then I went into this place called Omar's where this weird cross-eyed woman sat on my boyfriend's lap and said she loves his meat. Just kidding. Reading terrible Yelp reviews. Okay.
I went to Omar's and a woman sat on my boyfriend's lap and said, if I'm not self-involved with myself, who would I be involved with? We left.
So Sonia comes in and, oh no, Sonia and Elise pick up Dorinda.
Dorinda gets into the SUV with the two of them.
So Sonia is just shit-faced already. First of all, we hear Sonia before Dorinda even gets in and we just hear like, like, I don't even know what she was saying. It didn't even sound like her voice.
Sonia is wearing the same costume as Ramona, but they could not look any... Because Sonia is so wasted that her entire costume looks different. Like, her hair... She's giving me vibes of, like... It's like some Stevie Nicks meets Carol Kane in, like, Princess Bride. It's just, like, this weird, like, am I pretty?
Yeah, she's just like a damn mess. And Dorinda's like, are you partying the hell of us? And she's like, I'm drinking. And she tells us, what do you think I was doing before the party? Getting lit with my hair and makeup, people!
There's like a 19-year-old and like a 17-year-old intern. They're like, Miss Morgan, can I apply the rouge now?
Miss Morgan, please, I'm going to try and do your lipstick. Don't eat it this time.
You don't touch the Morgan lips.
So Sonia has already decided that she's going to yell at Ramona, but she doesn't really remember why at this point. So she's just like,
I'm upset with Ramona. She doesn't feel my pain. She doesn't feel my struggle.
Struggle. Is that the struggle to put a towel up on your window? I don't understand. I also like the way she described Halloween this time around, because and all that last scene is like, I hate Halloween. And this time she's like, oh yeah, I got lit with my hair and makeup team. I mean, that's what you do. It's a national holiday in my group. I was like, also, like, if it's a holiday only within your group, it's not a national holiday. I mean, of course it's Halloween, but I know. Just look at me, just taking her to task for all her semantics.
So Dorinda's like, you know what, Ramona? Here's the problem with Ramona. She's right here. And then everyone else has to, like, go around it like that. Everyone else has to go around it like that. And Elisa's like the sun.
Good one, Elisa. I was a substitute teacher in science class once.
Now listen, I left with gum in my hair the last time I substitute taught, but it doesn't make me an idiot. Okay.
Listen, the children laughed at me because when the slide projector beeped, I didn't know how to advance the slide. It was very mortifying. But I learned a lot that day, and I have to say.
So Sonia's brought a little doll, and she's just beating up the doll, going, I'm going to do it like this doll. In your ear, Ramona. In your ear.
Yeah. And then they cut to the driver, who's just like, why did I sign up for this job?
He's horrified.
Why? I'm not getting paid enough for this.
So now, back at the party, Ramona is... Who does Ramona say this to? Oh, my God. You look like you have suicide watch.
I don't know who she said that to. I didn't hear that. But basically, some of the gays arrive, and one is dressed... He literally is dressed like a Disney colonial person, you know?
Yeah.
Or, right, like, he's got, like, the powdered wig and, like, the jacket and everything, but it's, like, very Disney-fied. Yeah. And so Ramona's like, whoa, hey, where'd you get that paunch from? That's not real, is it? And she, like, starts touching his stomach, and he's like, it's all me. And she's like, oh, that's his gut. Oh, shit. Sorry. Oops.
I was not real.
I mean, no one would eat that much food that they would actually have a paunch. They'd be happy to show it off at a party, okay? It's ridiculous. Oh, it's real? Sorry.
So then Sonia finally comes in, and she's like, what's this? I love a crustacean.
Yeah. Under the sea, that's where I'll be. Fucking a lobster. I like a mobster. Under the sea.
She goes up to Ron, and she goes, so who are you? I don't like secrets. And he's like, I'm not a secret.
And then Dorinda's like very impressed. She's like, hey, this is good. This is like a Dorinda setup. I mean, they took a page out of my book. I'm like, no, because a Dorinda setup would have like an inflatable Dracula like popping up from the corner of the room.
Yeah.
And flopping around.
So and up in the makeup suite.
Hi, it's Chelsea in here.
Hi. It's like, well, Jill and I have been friends for a long time, and I've been on a cabaret tour, and she's in love, or what she thinks is love. And anyway, because of my busy cabaret touring schedule, where I'm talking about fucking, marrying, and killing, I haven't seen my dear friend Jill in a long time.
So we have a whole hair makeup team. Can I look pretty? Because I'd love to look like a pretty hooker, all right? I want to get work, all right?
Leah's just there like, who is this lady?
Hi, this is Gary. He's my fiance. Hi. Mm-hmm.
So then downstairs, Sonia is hitting the doll again, going, in your ear, Ramona. In your ear. She goes, what are you doing? You're kind of scary looking. She goes, Ramona, this is you. Boom, boom, in your ear, Ramona.
What are you going to do to me? She goes, and she, yeah, because there's the thing she's hitting it with is sort of phallic, so there's sort of like a sexual nature to it. You know, she's like, you know what? I'm mad at you because every time I talk to you, you bring it back to you. And I say I'm doing construction. I'm doing construction.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I say my daughter's going to college. You say my daughter's in college.
Actually, she graduated already, but okay.
She's like, bang, 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 bang.
And Ramona's like, okay, you know what? You know what, Sonia? I'm very sorry that I ever said anything. And Dorinda's like, here she comes, the apologizer. Here she comes.
Yeah. She's like, I do love you, bitch, but you're an asshole. And then Sonia goes, and you know what? And then she points to Elise. You see the substitute teacher in the corner? What do you do to her? You put her at the end of every table at any event. You don't even talk to her. You ignore her. Look at the way she's staring into space. She's hurt. She's hurt.
Why do you do that, Ramona? Why do you do that?
And Elise is like, I do feel that. And Ramona's like, you know what? I'm sorry to you. I'm sorry to you. And Elise goes, you know, you have a lot of kinds of girls. They're the ones that'll knock you down when you're on top. They're the ones that kick you when you're down. And there's the ones that celebrate you when you're on top and catch you when you fall.
Which friend am I to you, Ramona? I'm like, you know what, Elise? Don't ask a question you don't want the answer to. Ramona goes, which one would like to be, darling?
Darling?
Well, I'm asking you. Which one am I? Which one do you want to be?
Which one am I? Which one do you want to be? Okay. I'm like, oh, this is the worst argument ever.
You're the one, the car not coming out with us after the Halloween maze, okay?
So
you're the one that the students throw paper airplanes at, okay?
Ramona's pissed now because she's like, whoa, Elise is just going to gank up with the other girls so she can be popular. So Ramona just walks off and Elise is like, why are you running away? And Cindy goes, because she has schadenfreude.
They love that word now.
Schadenfreude. No one's going to use it right.
Yeah. It means that she gets off by walking to other sides of tables. It's German for that.
So then Ramona goes to Dorinda because she's got no friends left in this room, right? So she's going to try with Dorinda, which is obviously a bad move. So she goes to Dorinda and she's like, so, you know what, Dorinda? I think the other day we really shocked Larry Scott.
And then Dorinda's like, yeah, I want to talk about it. He's like, you know what? Now, out of the whole group, and don't repeat this because I'm going to get in trouble, okay? But you and Sonia are the most important to me, okay? Now, what are we going to complain about?
She's like, you're not buying it. You know what I'm really saying. I know it's about you, Ramona, but really, you should have just said, Sonia, let's do the party together, right? I mean, what's the point? It's silly. 60 women. It's my big opening. I'm coming here.
You know what? I'll throw another party on another day. I'll call it a worst birthday party day, okay? And we'll celebrate Sonia.
I'll call it luncheon for people with no friends, okay?
I'll call it let's invite everyone except Elise to it party day.
Ramona's like, why doesn't she just have her own party? It's like, you should have done it together. You probably sat there to get a free party. I felt you.
I love celebrating my birthday, okay? I love it, okay? You know, Dorinda always says it's silly that I have a party. It's because she has no one to invite, okay? But I have 80 friends, okay? Because I'm a good friend, right? That's why I have so many friends. I'm a great friend. I mean, look, there's my best friend Elise crying in the corner because I'm such a good friend to her, okay?
Ramona's like, I pay for my own parties, okay? I'm not Sonia. I'm Ramona. She's like, no, you don't, Ramona. $200 like you're paying Larry. She goes, are you drunk? You're drunk. Okay, you know what? You're drunk. That's it. You're just drunk. So maybe we can talk about this another time that Elise isn't invited, okay?
And by the way, this entire time, there's like this poor waiter who's standing with a tray with like one glass of water or something right next to him, just like waiting for them to please take this beverage so he can move to a different station. He's like, oh God.
Yeah.
Stupid, stupid women.
So she triggered Dorinda because you never say you're drunk to Dorinda. Alcoholics hate when you say they're drunk. So Dorinda.
Let's not forget what happened to Luann in Colombia.
Yep. And here we go. So she's set Dorinda off now. So she's like, you're drunk. You're drunk. You've been here since 7:30. You're whacked out of your mind. You're looking so ridiculous, Ramona. As Ramona walks off.
You look and sound ridiculous. Meanwhile, like Dorinda's in this like golden, some sort of like golden Art Deco skeleton costume.
Yeah, Day of the Dead.
You look ridiculous. So then it's 9 o'clock, so Luann and Leah finally arrive, and I was like, oh, well, look, here we are. Oh, good, a waiter dressed like a priest. I'll have a vodka tonic, please. That's actually Rob. Oh, he looks like he's about to fall over. Are you okay, sir? Are you okay? Do we have a pillow for this man?
So Rob goes, I feel all small and shit. Leah's like, oh, don't worry, Rob. They're just all really tall. And Dorinda's like, all right, Rob, let's get down to basics. Why haven't you two worked out, huh? I'm just kidding. I would never ask somebody that. I'm just kidding.
I would never ask somebody that, but I actually was seriously asking. I just figured for one moment I could take the temperature of the room, which was kind of surprising, so I pulled it back. I pulled it back, okay? Yeah. And then Sonia sees Luann from across, and she's like, Luann, holy shit!
You started a little early, didn't you, Sonia? Oh, God.
Joe!
And Luann's...
Hi.
The Jill Zarin bell goes off.
Hi, you miss me? Hi.
For whom the Jill tolls.
So Ramona's like now really mad at Dorinda. She's like, you know what? Dorinda's behavior when she's angry has to stop, okay? I mean, like, but you know what? I'm just going to suck it up and sit here, and I'll leave momentarily for my other friend at Omar's, okay? Omar's. Go to Omar's.
Omar's. So Ramona tells Leah, you look absolutely stunning. And she's like,
well, you got to dress like this now because who knows how long I'm going to look like this. Am I right?
She's like, you are always going to be beautiful. So just remember that I'm being really nice to you while everybody else attacks me, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Right? So now they're all sitting down at the table. And Sonia sits down across from Leah. And she's, just, I mean, Sonia is like, she's at that point of drunkenness where she's almost like a potted plant. Where like when she sits down, it's like, you know, like it's just like, she just is like settled into her seat. And like that plant is not moving, right? It's like, it's found its corner, right? And so Sonia's like, she's like, I like Leah, but she's a fucking weirdo.
And Leah's like, excuse me? She goes, I mean, Leah's like, excuse me? Well, you look hot as hell, I'll tell you that. She's like, oh, I said I like you, but you're a weirdo.
I'm weirdo. I'm weirdo.
Leah, she's drunk, okay? Just don't. Leah, she's drunk, okay? Just don't. I gotta go to Omar's, okay? Just don't, Leah. Don't go over to talk to her, Leah, okay? I go to Omar's, okay?
So then Leah goes over and puts her face right in Sonia's, and Sonia's like, I like you. You're a weirdo. I'm a weirdo. We're artists. Let's be weirdos.
But you know what? Can we just keep it real then? Because you just need to keep it real then, girl, right?
No, that's, Leah's like, can you keep it real then? She goes, maybe not.
She goes,
so why do I have to keep it real then?
She goes, you have to reel me in. Maybe we can reel each other in.
And so now they're friends or something?
They always have, they're just like staring into each other's eyes, like, and Leah's like, yeah, I can speak drunk, Sonia, so I get it. Which is actually true. They like it's every time you think the two of them are about to escalate, they somehow, like, it somehow gets, like, I don't want to say sexual, but there's, like, it becomes, like, oddly passionate. It's like, remember they got that, they had a fight in the bathroom and they were fighting and then all of a sudden they're like sort of making out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then,
like, let's not be divisive. Let's be inclusive.
And Leah's like, we could be a fucking force if we teamed up, me and you. Which is such a scary thought and so true as well.
We've already seen them throw fire, so.
So then we see Dorinda trying out alligator. She's like, you know what? Chicken tastes like chicken.
Yeah, not the chicken that I buy at the store, because I buy from a very fancy store called Not Just Chicken. So then Dorinda starts complaining to Luann about Ramona, and she's like, yeah, you know, like, Ramona said I was drunk, and I don't like that. She's the one who's whacked out of her mind. She was here an hour earlier. You know, she's a selfish, self-serving person that always says something about herself.
Well, what I can't believe is she brought Missy. I mean, do I care?
Yes, you do care. I wouldn't have brought someone that bothered you.
Which is hilarious because doesn't she say that she's the one who brought Ramona's trick later on in this scene? Doesn't Dorinda say that she invited that kid?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Fucking Dorinda. Such a hypocrite. So she's like, I wouldn't bring someone who would have bothered you. And Ramona's like, you know what? She doesn't have Tinsley, so I guess now she's going to attack me. And
so rude because I'm on my way to Omar's right now, okay? I can't wish you to attack me when I have a great table at Omar's waiting for me, okay?
Yeah, so Luann tells her she doesn't bother me, but to bring a girlfriend of my ex-boyfriend and Leah's, or my ex-husband, and Leah's like, shots fired! Uh-oh.
And we also see a great Tom flashback where Missy's basically like, so what's that on your finger? He's like, oh yeah, it's like a dog with a collar. Like, you know, that season was like so amazing. That's the Tom saga is just like one of the most amazing things that ever happened to this show.
Yeah. Don't think of the past. Stay in the present. Listen,
I'm very happy with the present, but sometimes I like to reflect on just how many amazing gems this show has given us.
Ah, the Real Housewives of New York. So Luann is telling us, well, the thing with people is they'll disappoint you all the time. And Gary, who's Gary? This is one way to keep
Gary
your galleries down. Oh,
Gary is Jill's fiance. So she's like, the food's starting to show up, and Jill's like, what's that, Gary?
Is that eyeballs? Are those eyeballs, Gary? Hi, eyeballs. It's Jill. Hi.
So this is where Dorinda sits next to the trick, the hot guy that we saw a few episodes ago. And she's like, look, Ramona, it's William, your play toy. Are you happy I brought William, Ramona? Are you happy I brought him? Is your play toy?
And Ramona's just ignoring her. It's like, it's just so amazing. Their dynamic is just so
But she's
so,
annoying her
so
in that
hilarious.
Way where her posture is straight and her eyes are, like, beating out.
Like, her costume is actually so perfect at this moment because it's so fitting that she's just ignoring her and she is doing the blink, like, the high and mighty blink, but she's also wearing this, like, regal cape with a high collar, you know? She's like, you know what? Sometimes the best thing to do when someone is a shit to you is just to ignore them, okay? It's like, one time I was a little girl, okay? I was trying to have fun, and Geraldine Parsons-Smith said, you know, little girl, you're not allowed to have fun, okay? Because you're a stupid little girl, so I just ignored her. And to this day, I can ignore anyone I want, okay? Sorry, that's just my past.
So Luann stands up for a speech, and Sunny goes, Luann! She's like, ding, ding, ding. And Dorinda stands up, and she's like, ding, ding, ding. Let me get a consensus from the table, because I just got here, okay? I haven't been here since 7:30 like somebody else who's over here, okay? Yeah, you want to get a consensus from people, because I just got here, okay? And then it cuts to Sonia just chowing on a chicken bone.
Yeah. And I also just want to point out that right before the speech, when Ramona was ignoring Dorinda, this was like, you could barely hear it. Like, they didn't even bring it up in the audio. I just happened to catch it. It's like, it was like, in the background of the audio, you just hear Luann say, what do you mean there's not enough salt?
So Dorinda stands up and she's like, I want to get a consensus. What do you guys think of a friend that when they don't like something that says, you're drunk? Huh? What does everybody think about that?
Sonia, who has like chicken and like olives and clams falling out of her mouth, says, Ramona, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that, Ramona?
And Leah goes, I'm drunk and I'm happy. Dorinda's like, she sat here for an hour boozing around. And Sonia goes, Ramona, very bad, Ramona. Very bad, Ramona.
It's bad, it's weak, and it's mean. That's some schaffenflaffen. That's what you are.
You're schaffenflaffen, okay? You get happy and you sell to other people. Why'd you do that, Ramona? Yeah, why'd you do that? You're terrible to Sonia and you're not nice. Don't do that. And then it just cuts to Sonia with a humongous, like, cartoonish ladle slopping soup.
She's like, there's like slop in front of her. Like, Sonia is literally in a different century from the rest of the show at this moment. Like, she is literally in the Middle Ages. And she's like, more slop for you, mister. It's like, where is Sonia right now?
And it's like, yeah, don't do that, Ramona. And Jill goes, wow, I really miss you girls.
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say happy Halloween, but I guess she beat me to it. Whoever thought that anyone could upstage a cabaret star? I guess we found out.
Well, I understand Dorinda has had it, but she's taken it to a whole nother level. At this point, I feel bad for Ramona. I mean, Dorinda, it's like, what a way to prove that you're not a drunk, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to stand up and act like a total fucking monster. Typical.
Yeah. So Ramona, like, turns to Misty and goes, you know what? She's just so angry. And you know what? I don't know what she's angry about. Her life, obviously, okay? And Jill's like, is this how it always is? You walk in a room and Dorinda attacks someone? Hi!
Oh, she's going to pay for that one. Because Jill said in an interview, sorry, I don't have, like, I didn't write down where I'm hearing all this stuff. Probably Facebook, okay, my new source. But Jill apparently said that she was invited to the next party or the Berkshires or something, and then Dorinda said she couldn't come.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, you're paying for that one already. So then Elise comes over to Ramona. She's like, are you okay? You know I love you, Ramona. She's like, fine. She's like, come on, Ramona. Elise. I love you, Ramona. And Missy goes, you know what? You really just have to lift people up.
You know what? I've been feeling a little neglected, but I still love her so much, okay? You look hot. Don't look at me like that. Come on, Ramona. Ramona's like, no. Now Ramona realizes she has all the power. So now she's like, no, you know what? You know what, Elise? No. Like, thank you, Elise, but I'm not in the mood.
I've got a lot to deal with, okay? It's like a lot.
So I've got to go to Omar's, okay? I can't have this right now. I got an Omar's reservation, okay?
Oh, so then Ramona is telling us, she's like, you know what? The way that Elise has been acting lately, and then Avery comes into the kitchen behind her, and she's like, Mom, stop wasting your life talking about Elise. It's dumb.
Yes, Avery. I hear you and your friends all the time is always talking about Elise. Well, because it's unnerving. Well, you can't get enough. It's like annoying, mother.
It's like, shut
that
up.
That Avery cameo made all these Zoom interviews so worth it. For Avery just to come storming into the interview and complaining, mother, shut up.
So then it comes back to Elise. She goes, what can I do, Ramona? What can I do? She's like, I'm good. Fine, guy. So then Ron is on to Sonia now. He's like, hey, you want to have fun or you want to fight? And she's like, get me a drink. You're not buying. I'm buying.
Yeah. And then Dorinda's trying to carve this pig. She's like, I'm sorry to do this to you, John, but I got to go in here. Okay. And I was like, you know what? Who in their right mind after hearing that horrific speech would give Dorinda a knife? Okay.
So true. And then Leah takes a giant little octopus off the top of the seafood tower. It's like, rah!
And Rob's like, Leah, no, no, Leah, no, no, no. And Leah goes, do not fuck with my seafood tower, okay?
And the man goes, this is where vodka comes in handy, because she's like wiping off the octopus with the alcohol.
But Leah also is like, she introduces Sonia to Rob, but she's also still holding the octopus. She's like, Sonia, meet Kiki's dad. This is Rob. She's like, is it the octopus or is it the guy dressed like a priest? Which one is it?
So Leah's like, you guys should hook up. Ramona's like, you know what? Someone put some voodoo on this. I'm out of here. I am going to Oliver's, guy.
Going to Omar's.
Omar's. Guy. Omar's. Damn it.
And Rob's like, I don't know how my life ends up like this, but here we are.
And that's pretty much the end of that one, everybody.
Yeah, that was the end. That was Real Housewives of New York. It's crazy, as usual. They're just like very drunk and unhinged, but I thoroughly enjoy it personally.
Yeah. I definitely got a lot of laughs out of it. I could do with a little bit less of Dorinda just being wasted every single time being toxic to somebody. Like, I enjoy that, like, maybe every other episode. Mm-hmm. But, like, single episode, it's like...
And she had I thought her scene with her daughter was really sweet. Like, I actually thought her, like, insisting that her daughter wear her vest was just so lovely and motherly. And that's, like, I love that Dorinda has that side of her, too. But she really is unhappy in her life at the moment. She is going through shit, and it is like it is really coming out everywhere. And this is where we need someone like Bethany, who like can't deal with it, who just says, "Okay, you know what? Like, I need to talk.
You're drunk.
Okay, you're being ridiculous. Okay, you're drunk. You're ridiculous. You're yelling at everyone. Like, what's wrong with you? Okay, like you got to get it together. This isn't right. Okay, like you're terrible. You know, no one likes the mayonnaise, so you're behind with that. Everyone hates mayonnaise. Guess what? And also, like, no one likes your vest. I feel bad for Hannah. I want to give her a hug because she has to wear your vest. And you're being toxic. So get over it. Okay, sorry.
So since the schedule changed a little bit, and we had this one on a Monday this time as well as a Friday, and we took last week off, we have Married to Medicine LA kind of gets the shaft. Sorry, but we haven't covered that whole season, just a few. And yeah, we will be back to do a full recap next week for the season finale.
And conveniently, nothing really happened on this episode of Married to Medicine LA, so that made life a lot, you know, that's like, basically, they were still in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And they went pedal. They did one of those bike things where they... like they pedaled but also drank, and then it was, to me, that was like actually the funniest moment of the season was when,
yeah, it was the best scene for sure.
Jasmine was again getting on Kendra's ass about like, you need to pedal harder, and Kendra's like, oh my god, please stop. And she's like, you sent me a photo of Pho, and like, that's not good enough. And she's like, it's Fuh, bitch, it's fuh.
She's like, now you're harassing me. Okay? We need to end this now. She's like, I think you're right. You're fired. I'm happy I'm fired.
Yeah. And then they just sort of like, they went to dinner and they dressed up. And then Jasmine was wearing like her own brand Because the whole dinner theme was like, wear a label. And so everyone was wearing like Versace or other stuff. And then
and it was Leah's time to plan the party. And Leah and Jasmine don't like each other. So to be shady with Leah, she decided to show up in her own label. Let's see how they take that. It's like, oh.
Yeah. And they aired out some stuff about the gifts, the gag gifts from last week. And then...
And then they had the same conversations that they've had the past few weeks. Like, well, here's how I feel about my divorce. Well, here's how I feel about getting a job. Well, here's how I feel about getting a job.
Yes.
They had those three same conversations, and we were out.
Yeah. And they went to a drag club where they were like, they acted as if like America had never seen a drag queen before. They're like, you know what's great about drag? They are just living out there. They are just out there. I'm like, okay, yes, we understand drag culture.
And they're shocked that they're in Palm Springs and everyone's old. They're like, why is everyone here so old?
What is happening?
And then Imani does that thing that I feel like girls do at gay clubs where, right, where they're like, oh, it's my bachelorette party. And then they come into a gay club and they're like, ah! You know, yeah. But Imani takes the mic from the drag queen and she's like, I am woman. I'm not only fabulous, but it's also I'm a doctor. And they're like, yeah. Woo? I mean, yay.
And I was like, cool. Okay. We're waiting for the, that's great.
She's like, thanks. I'd like to thank my doctor for my tits. They're like, woo, woo.
Okay.
Woo, all right.
You go. Okay. Great. Great. Everyone's like, she's okay. Cool. Yeah, that was pretty much, I mean, and then there was like one of those scenes where like the husbands get together and play some pool, and then Hobart's like, they're like, oh, Hobart, you gotta let her take that job because it's how she expresses her womanhood too, or independence. And it's like one of those, like every Marriage to Medicine season from any franchise always has that scene with the husbands. They get together and they talk about husband stuff.
Yeah. And it was nice hearing them actually give him good advice because he's like, I mean, I just feel like she doesn't want to be around the baby and that she's just like, screw this. I don't want to be around the baby. So I'm going back to work. Well, guess what? That's her prerogative. I don't want to be around the fucking baby either. Okay. You guys,
do you want to be around the baby, Hobart?
Yeah. Switch. Why don't you switch?
Yeah. Why then? Is that not applied to you, Hobart?
Yeah, sir. So that was it. And so next week is the season finale of Married to Medicine.
Yeah, big season finale. So we'll be covering that next Monday. And this week we got Below Deck Med, we got Selling Sunset, and we got, I think Beverly Hills is back this week, and we got New York.
Yeah, we will talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.